Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the podcast. Appreciate everyone tuning in last week. I hope you guys enjoyed that one. And we had a little bit to talk about here. We had some fights last weekend. And honestly, pretty good card. Aside from the weird main event, which we'll talk about here in a little bit, I really, really enjoyed those fights this weekend. Sometimes the Apex cards are so hit and miss. Sometimes they're super boring, and since there's no crowd, even like little moments, there's no excitement, there's no booing either. I mean, there's a little bit of a crowd. If you guys didn't know, by the way, you can get tickets to go to those Apex cards. You can go, but it's like $1,800. But it is possible for you to go. You get like a VIP experience too, I'm pretty sure. I'm not certain. Don't take my word for that. I don't work for the UFC, but yeah, you can actually go to those. That's what the crowd's there for. Anyway, but actually the fights this week were more interesting, I thought, than the ones in Mexico City last weekend. But let's get into it a little bit. We saw one of the most vicious knockouts we have ever seen inside the octagon this weekend. Already a candidate for knockout of the year. Viniscus, I think that's how you say his name, Oliveira defeats Bernardo Sapoya. Again, I think that's how you say his name, via flying knee in the first round. Guys, if you didn't see, I'm sure you saw it. It was fucking everywhere. It was nuts, dude. It looked like ragdoll physics from Grand Theft Auto 4. If you're familiar with Grand Theft Auto 4, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know what? It looked like ragdoll physics from the new UFC game. You know, have you ever knocked somebody out in like any of the last couple UFC games, and you're like, no one falls like that. It looks like their neck's broken. Why is their arm all twisted? He looked like Peter Griffin when he falls. It was fucking nuts. I shouldn't be talking shit, but it just looked it looked absolutely insane. Congratulations to Mr. Oliveira there. Hopefully a speedy recovery to Bernardo. Eric Anders defeating Jamie Pickett via unanimous decision. I kind of want to talk about both Jamie Pickett and the Tyson-Pedro fight while we're already on the subject. They both said they retired due to financial issues. And It's weird, because there's guys like Sean Strickland and even like guys that grew up super poor that say the UFC pays them enough, but then we see guys like Jamie Pickett and Tyson Pedro who retire because they can't afford to fight anymore. And Tyson Pedro, I think this is like his 13th or 14th fight in the UFC, so he's more than likely not making 12 and 12 like a lot of these guys are. He's probably making at least 25, I would think. And I know fight camps are expensive. I know let's say you make 25, you lose the fight. And by the way, I hate how it's not just a flat rate. I hate how there's a win bonus. I don't like that. But that's not up to me, obviously. A little coffee in the morning. Sorry, I'm sick, by the way. But anyway, so you say you make 25 after taxes. Let's do the math, guys. Let's do the math. I'm gonna do the math for the state of Idaho. I think they're independent contractors, so I think they pay the taxes of whatever state they're in. I don't know. I don't know if they have to pay taxes from, let's see, 25. I don't know how this is going to work. Twenty 25,000. I mean, it's only doing semi-monthly, but they're taking an estimated 5% of 25,000. I don't know what the fuck that is. Let's just for shits and giggles, let's just say they make 19.5. 19.5 after taxes. Then they have to pay their coaches. It's usually 10%. Then they got to pay their managers. It's probably another 5 to 10%. And then any other expenses in the fight camp. So food is probably the biggest expense during a fight camp, especially if you're doing a weight cut. It's probably, let's say, $2,000 for 2 weeks for food at the most. At the most. You're taking home, like, what's that, fucking 10 grand? Not really a lot. And then you got all your expenses. You're probably not working those 2 weeks if you have a job, which sucks that you probably have to have a job. If you get injured, you don't get paid, so those 2 weeks go to waste. But it's just tough because there's guys that just get into the UFC and they seem to be doing fine. And there's other guys. I guess when you have a family, I think Jamie says he has like fucking 4 kids. It's tough, man. These guys should be making a lot more. I really hope, because I do love the UFC. I've been watching the UFC since I was 11 years old. And you just hope they've been making a lot more since then. But you just hope they're figuring out a way to pay these guys more money. You really do. Because they deserve so much. At least, I don't know. I'm not qualified to be talking about it, but it's just tough to see when guys retire because they can't afford it anymore. And I understand that. Anyway, let's move on from that. Big, big knockout win for Steve Ursig this weekend, defeating Matt Schnell by second round knockout. Just a beautiful check left hook. Put Matt Schnell out in that first round. We're seeing a lot of guys I believe he fights at 125. A lot of guys at 125 now that just hit so hard. And I don't know if you guys saw the end of that fight. I can't remember who the ref was in that fight. I'm going to look it up right now. By the way, Steve Ursig's fight name's the best, Astro Boy. If you guys don't know who Astro Boy is, it's fucking Chris Tyone. Did you see what the fuck he did? At the end of the fight, he goes over to his coach and he's like talking to Matt Schnell and he's like patting his chest. He's like, I don't know what hurt you more, the punch or you hitting the back of your head on the canvas. And then he like taps the back of his head and he's like, you'll see it on film. Like, bro, what the fuck is that? I don't like it when referees get involved like that. Like, bro, the dude was fucking out cold. He clearly has no idea where he is. And you're going up to him, patting him on the back of the fucking head. And Chris Tyone's a pretty decent referee, too. I don't know what the fuck that was. I've never seen a referee fucking do that, especially after a knockout. That was one of the weirdest things I've ever seen. But great performance by Steve Ursig. That dude's a fucking monster. I believe he's undefeated. I think he only has one loss on his record. Yeah, undefeated in the UFC. Jesus, he hasn't lost since 2017, his second fight. But yeah, he's now 3-0 in the UFC. With a big knockout win like that, that should propel him up probably in the top 15, top 10. He might be in the top 15 already. But definitely fight with inside the top 10. And then we had Umar Nurmagomedov fighting. Jesus, sorry. Behzad Ali-Makan. That fight was a lot closer than it should have been. I don't know what's up with these Dagestani guys fighting unranked opponents. I know this was I believe this was a relatively short notice fight. I know it's hard for Umar to get fights, probably, but he got dropped in that first round. That could have been not a good look for Umar. I would really, really, and by the way, this Ali-Makan guy is a fucking monster. He's going to be really good, I think. I think he's going to do real well. It's only his second loss in like fucking 8 years. It's insane. Anyway, Well, everyone wants to talk about him fighting for the title. I think more people are talking about Umar fighting for the title instead of Merab. Tell me how that makes any sense. Merab is beating everybody. Beats the fuck out of Piotr Jan. Fucking beats the shit out of Henry Cejudo. Two former champions. Number one contender. By the way, he is weighing in as the backup fighter for this weekend's Bantamweight Championship. So that's good. At least he's got that. So hopefully he should be fighting for the title next. I think he beats everybody, even including Umar. But I would love to see, if he doesn't get a title shot next, I would love to see him put him against Merab and see what happens, because I don't think that's going to go well at all. But yeah, that fight was way closer than it should have been. And that's really all I have to say about that. And then Muhammad Makhachev defeating Alex Perez via decision. Second round, Alex Perez, I don't know if you guys saw, he looked like fucking dropped him. Because that fight was pretty one-sided other than that second round. The first round was clear for Muhammad. The second round was pretty close. And then the third round was also clear for Makhachev there. By the way, Makhachev is only 23 years old. He's really young, and he's already ranked inside the top 15. So, dude's a fucking monster. But anyway, yeah, he dropped him in that first round. It looked like he went down for a single leg, but I really think he was out there for a second. Alex Perez is a dog. Muhammad Makhachev is a dog. It's a bunch of dogs. Anyway. And then we went on to our main event, and that was a fucking weird main event, wasn't it? It was a really weird main event. After that first round, it didn't seem like Shamil Gaziev wanted to even be in there. I still do not know. So if you didn't see it, at the end of the fourth round, they went to their corner, and he was complaining about, Gaziev was complaining about something. I don't know what the fuck it was. I don't know if he said he couldn't see, if he didn't want to continue. I still don't know. I was at work trying to watch the fights, so I didn't. I was like, okay, he quit, whatever. I turned him off, but that had to have been one of the weirdest things I've ever seen inside the octagon. He just fucking quit, I guess. He just did not look like he wanted to be there at the end of that fourth round. And usually the UFC, when they put someone kind of new, not new, but like a guy who hasn't, maybe he's on the come up, hasn't really been in a main event before. Obviously, definitely hasn't been in a main event before. But, I mean, this is only his second fight in the UFC. It makes no sense. He has a bunch of first round finishes when he fought over, like, overseas from wherever he's from. I think he's from Russia. No. Myanmar. Okay. But, yeah, he fought on the Contender Series. And then he fought at UFC 296. And now he gets a main event. And usually, like I said, the UFC doesn't miss these. It's like, oh, no, this guy's next. And they put him in the main event. And they either, even if they lose, they still shine. This guy just fucking shit the bed. It didn't look like he belonged in there with Rozenstruik, especially after that first round. Gassed after that first round. Rozenstruik was just doing whatever he wanted to him for the most part. He basically just jabbed him the whole time. He jabbed his way to a victory. It was really, really fucking weird. But, yeah. Jarzinho Rozenstruik defeats Shamil Gaziev via fourth round TKO. All right, guys. Weird fights this weekend. Last weekend, I guess. But the good news, I went 5-1. So that brings my 2024 record for MMA picks to 21-22. And I got my picks for you this week. We'll show them right here. I got Piotr Jan defeating Song Yadong via decision. I got Gilbert Burns to defeat Jack Della Maddalena by submission. I got Kevin Holland to defeat Michael Venom Page, and get this, by submission. We'll talk about that later. Excuse me. Then we got Benoit Saint-Denis to defeat Dustin Poirier via knockout. And then we got Marlon Chito Vera to defeat Sean O'Malley via submission. I kind of picked with my heart on this one, guys. That's where I keep fucking up. I keep picking. I don't pick with my brain. I pick with who I want to win, not who I think will win half the time. And that's kind of what I did here. I have Piotr Jan winning because I just think it's. I think this is a good matchup stylistically for him, Song Yadong, and I just think he's gonna get back in the win column this week. Gilbert Burns and Jack Della Maddalena. God, excuse me. I think Gilbert's hot. I think he's back from that injury. And I know Jack Della Maddalena is a monster. An absolute monster. I'm looking at his record, and it's fucking terrifying. Knockout, 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 submission. Two decisions in his last two fights, but that's all in the UFC. But I think Gilbert Burns is healthy. He's ready to go, and I think he's going to win that one. And then hear me out with this Kevin Holland. To win by submission nonsense that you guys are probably like, what is the fucking two strikers? Kevin Holland's a black belt. Okay? He's a black belt. I don't think MVP really has any submissions on his record as far as I know. He has more fucking fights than I thought he did. He has 24 fights. He's also 26. He's older than I thought he was. But he has three submissions. I don't think any of them were in Bellator. One in Bellator back in 2016. That was his last submission victory. Kevin Holland's last submission victory. Two fights ago, submitted Michael Chiesa. So I think you're going to see him not really want to fuck with the striking of Michael Venom Page because that's really his only way to win this fight. He's not as a complete fighter as Kevin Holland is. And, excuse me. And I think he's going to take him down in that second round. His wrestling's pretty good. And just tear through him and submit him. And then as far as the Benoit Saint-Denis versus Dustin Poirier fight goes, I think Saint-Denis is just on a tear right now. He's on one of those runs, I think. I don't think to a title, but I think this is just one of those guys. Poirier's kind of getting a little older. There's a lot of that weird, what do you call it? God, his nickname is the God of War. Jesus Christ. If you guys don't know, Benoit Saint-Denis is a French Special Forces soldier who started training MMA to be a better soldier. All he thinks about is war. At the end of his last fight, he was like, thank you, you help us in World War II. You come, you save our ass. And it's like, Jesus Christ, he's thinking about the war. Dude's just a monster. He's only 28 years old, too. I thought he'd be a little bit older than that. But he only has one loss on his record by decision. Never been finished. He's got a fucking nine submissions, 400% finish rate. And it just seems like one of those fights to where Poirier didn't, there was all that weird stuff to where he didn't accept, like there was like the fight fell out and he's like, I'm out. And then like, 4 hours later, they're like, oh, I'm just kidding. So he probably wanted more money because this is a tough fight. It doesn't seem like Poirier wanted this fight, but it seems like it was the only fight they were offering. One of those weird situations. That's why I have Saint-Denis winning. It just feels right. It feels right. It feels like it's going to win. And then as far as the Chito Vera versus Sean O'Malley fight goes, I went back and watched that first fight. And I know Sean has always been like, oh, I was piecing him up, this and that, blah, blah, blah. And to be fair, for the first minute and a half, maybe 2 minutes, he kind of was. And then Chito starts to find his range, starts landing a bunch of kicks, starts pushing Sean back, lands a couple of head kicks, nothing flush, but starts finding that range. And then he lands that kick that deadens the nerve of Sean O'Malley. And then he really starts moving in. And one reason I have him winning by submission is because obviously Cheeto's a very, very high-level black belt. When they went to the ground, and I know Sean's foot was fucked up, Sean didn't do anything.
he just kind of sat there in like an open guard and just was barely even blocking punches. If he wanted to, Cheeto could probably take him down and just slice through him. And I know that fight was like 3 or 4 years ago, so Sean's obviously gotten a lot better. But that's what looks like could easily happen. He could have easily passed his guard. But, yeah, that first fight was a lot closer than Sean O'Malley wants to admit. But that's my picks for UFC 299. And that is it for me this week. I will be back. We'll start releasing an episode every Friday as well. I'll be breaking down the whole card for UFC 299. But that's going to do it for me for this episode. I appreciate you guys tuning in, and we'll see you next week.